Welcome, everybody. It is Thursday, October 17th, 2019. It is the Thursday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Time PSS call. And let's give a start with celebrations. We have about five or six people on the call today, so we have a little room to talk to each other. Who wants to start with a celebration? And we do have at least one new person on the call, so just Sonal is just sort of let me guide you through, and if you have questions, don't hesitate, okay?
Sounds good.
And if I mispronounce your name, please correct me. It'll take me a little while.
No problem.
Thanks. Awesome. Okay, somebody was starting to celebrate. Who is that?
Well, this is Ann, and I'm celebrating that last night I finally found a gluten-free food my child will eat in huge quantities. That's not sugar or carbohydrates.
What was that? I got to know, as a family of gluten.
Well, it's not the best. It's a tamale. Pork tamales.
All right.
He's decided he likes pork tamales. And so if I can,
you know,
I mean,
Trader Joe's has
so much better
for
than
you.
Do what?
Has them already made. Trader Joe's has them already made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're in Texas. We're good. I get great fresh tamales here and, you know, good, clean ingredients, you know, not
nice.
Not, you know, good stuff. So I'm so excited we found something to eat.
Awesome. Congratulations. I could totally, totally relate to that celebration. We've been gluten-free for 15 years, so long before there was
That's
anything
a long
on the
time.
Market. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else? What are we celebrating today? Y'all need me to call on people?
This is Kathy.
Go for it.
I have two quick celebrations. One was I listened to some of the summit last weekend, and just making the time to consider dynamics and issues in our family. And then almost 2 weeks ago, right after this phone call, we also had a family bike ride that was peaceful and calm, and I really focused on trying to manage my impatience as we got all the logistics together to go on a bike ride.
Awesome. So not only was there a family outing, but you managed your triggers around it.
Yes.
Beautifully. Well done. Julie, what about you?
I am celebrating that I am going part-time at work. So I'm actually off today, and I usually take a walk from work to be on these calls, and now I'm walking in my neighborhood, and it's a beautiful fall day, and I guess to be outside and be with you all. So
awesome.
That is healing.
Awesome. And I just really want to acknowledge, because, you know, Julie and I have been working together privately, and you've been working a while towards this outcome of figuring out how to make it work and what the deal is and what needed to happen. So way to go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Amazing what happens when you yeah. set a clear intention, isn't it?
Right, yes. For me and the family. So
exactly.
I'm excited.
Great.
Thanks.
Brent, you got something you want to celebrate? And if you need me to not unmute, just let me know if you want to stay silent and listen today. Just let me know. Sonal? Sonal, okay.
Yes.
Do you have something you want to celebrate?
I would guess celebrating the fact that I will be going on vacation tomorrow, if I can make it through this week. So I will be going to visit some friends and going on a trip by myself. So looking forward
to
some time.
That's an actual
to recharge.
Vacation.
It's an actual vacation, and actually hoping to recharge and just be in a better space when I come back.
Awesome.
For everybody.
Congratulations. That's amazing and really hard to do. So, because the logistics to just get yourself out of town can be totally overwhelming. We all know.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Trying not to worry about it.
Well, there's a letting go component. Tell me, how old are your kids?
So I only have one, and she's 12. And,
okay.
So in seventh grade.
Yep, great. Well, you know, it's funny. I was telling a story the other day. It's a long story, but the short version is the very first day I kind of was officially going back to work. This is more than a dozen years ago. And I was leading the opening of a women's retreat up in the mountains, and it was like 100 women, and I was the kind of opening act, right? So I needed to drive up into the mountains to go attend this retreat. And my then, I want to say, 8-year-old son got hit by a tree. And he was okay. He was concussed, but he was okay. And I made the hardest decision I ever made, which was to leave him in the very capable hands of his father, although in those days I'm not sure I really believed that as much as I do now, and to trust that he was okay. And I mean, he wasn't hospitalized, he was okay, right? But it was a really, really difficult and profoundly impactful decision to be able to say, he's really going to be okay, and I really can take care of me too. And so I get that it's hard to go, and I just really want to honor what it takes to do that and what it takes to let go. Brent, I want to circle back to you one more time, and then we're going to move into taking aim.
Okay.
You got something you want to celebrate?
Yeah. I think I hit a bad spot, and I didn't realize you'd called my name.
That's okay.
I have two little ones. Our daughter, 12, Addie, has taken up volleyball this year and really seems to be fitting in with the team and doing well at it.
Great.
And our oldest, Garrett is 17, and he's taken two classes at the high school and one at the college, local community college. And he seems to be doing really well. I mean, he's hitting some bumps where he's not handing in some things, but he's still maintaining A's in his classes. Now, granted,
that's
they're
amazing.
Easy classes, but I'm thinking it up. I told my wife, I said, Holly, you know, if he can balance the A and not get every assignment, I get that. I would probably do the same thing. So.
Yeah. Well, and just a reminder, the focus is on process, not outcome, right? So when you stay focused on, is he learning the process of doing school? That's huge. And if he happens to hold the A in the process, even better. But you want to really keep that focus on what is he doing to keep up with all of these different pieces. So that's great. So while I've got you and it's quiet, you want to go ahead and take aim for this week? And I did hear somebody else has joined us, and we'll check in with you in a minute. But where do you want to take aim, Brent?
That's tough for me. I never know exactly how to phrase that.
What's the change you want to see? One change you want to see?
I guess I should give you some background as to what we're doing. And that's kind of, we've got
okay,
an
okay, but I want to
step.
Ask you, because just in the interest of time, if you can bottom line it, totally want to hear it, but bottom line, what's the essence of it? What's important about the story to get us to the goal? Does that make sense?
I think so.
Okay.
The goal is very broad. I realize that. It's going to be to get everyone out the door in the morning without my daughter having a meltdown. And I know that's broad, but we've put some steps in place where I'm driving her, she's preparing more at night. There's a lot of following behind work to kind of set us up for success. And the past two mornings it's worked, but our goal is to keep that going. I don't know if that's
okay, so
the
yeah,
right
no, that's
phrasing.
Great. So it's continue to minimize morning meltdowns for your daughter.
Right.
Great. Yeah. So getting everybody out the door in the morning, as you say, is broad, but when you get it very specifically to helping her manage her emotionality, that's much more specific. And you could get even more specific if you wanted to look at what is it that tends to trigger her, right? So that would be a way, if you wanted to narrow in, that might be a place to look.
Unfortunately, right now it appears that our existence seems to trigger her in the morning.
Yeah. So, well, and that's fair. I mean, some people aren't morning people, and so finding a way to keep her moving and give her space in the morning is really key. right? Super. Thanks. Somebody else has joined us. Who popped on the call since we've been talking?
It's Shirey.
Hey, Shirey. How are you?
Doing all right.
Good. Do you want to do a quick celebration and take aim at the same time?
Sure. Celebration, we just had parent-teacher conference a couple days ago, and Xavier, he's actually had some teachers this year. He had last year, and every one of them just felt like he's improved. His behavior has improved a lot, and they all had a lot of good things to say. So that was nice to see him making progress and maybe even maturing some as part of it, because he's 16, almost 17 now. But we got there, so that's a huge celebration. This is the first time I went to a parent-teacher conference, and it was all good. So
that's
that was
amazing.
Huge.
That is an enormous celebration. Enormous.
Yeah, very much.
And where do you want to take aim this week?
So that's a big deal. You know what? I actually had a client right before this, and I wish I would have taken more time to think about it. But honestly, I think that we're getting ready to go camping, so maybe a good taking aim would be I don't want to be too broad, but basically dealing with bickering in the car because being on the road tends to be a huge problem with both of them. It's not just him or her.
Car ride bickering on way to camping trip is pretty specific.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
I love it because you can anticipate that and have the conversation in advance and get some agreement and some buy-in and all of that. That's great.
That would be great.
Okay. Okay, who else wants to take aim? Julie, how about you?
So my husband is leaving town for a week for a conference, and so I'm here holding down the fort and also dealing with some possible health issues for me that have come up. So for me, it's just trying to get through the week, being able to stay focused on my daughter and the kids and, like, get through all the helping her with homework and studying for all the tests on my own. And,
so is the challenge managing your emotions around it? Is it trigger management? What is it?
Like all of that, I want.
Right.
But I guess I can manage my. I mean, I want to get it done too. Like I want to be keyed in to her.
Okay, but you've probably mentioned, you know, once you get to that, you're talking 10 things, right? So where do you want to focus this week? And I hear that it's about. So here's what's coming up is that what you really want is to be really present to them when they're home this week and really pay attention to you sort of being there to manage whatever's going on. Is that accurate?
Yes, but it's more it's how I manage it. You know, I mean, because I don't want to be angry or resentful. You know, I want to be able to do it from an, I guess what I really want is from an kind of easy, supportive, light kind of place this week.
Okay, so you want to manage the week with a sort of lightness and ease.
Right, not with fear.
Right.
For any of us.
Okay. Yeah, so it's managing your thoughts around the week. Your thoughts and feelings around the week. Which is you know, a different kind of trigger management, right?
Right.
Great. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Kathy, what about you? Somebody keeps dropping off and dropping on, so I'm not sure who it is. So if I call you and you're not there, let me know. I mean, I'll move on. Kathy, are you here?
This is Kathy. I've been using mute, but I'm not dropping off.
Somebody's dropping. Okay. I don't know who it is. It's okay.
My son got, I think, a mild concussion yesterday. He was assessed. And so I think my focus right now needs to be managing my anxiety about his schoolwork while helping him heal. And so anyway, what's the place to be in right now? And
so what I really want to acknowledge you for is you're not saying, I want to make sure he gets his schoolwork done. What you're saying is you want to manage your anxiety while he heals from this and knowing that that may delay that may have put some kinks into his schoolwork.
Right.
And can I just offer something to you that when my son was 16 and got really, really ill one semester and ended up missing like 3 weeks of school, it was actually the best thing that ever happened to him because it forced him to learn how to advocate for himself with his teachers.
Mm.
And they were really willing to work with him because he was really ill. And so he learned that when you talk to your teachers, it actually helps. And it was the best thing that ever could have happened to him.
Yeah.
So just for what it's worth, hold that possibility, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Sonal?
Hello. Hello. Yeah, I dropped off at least once, so
okay.
I'm not quite
Welcome
sure
Welcome back.
Yes.
Where do you want
thank
to take
you.
Aim? What's, and generally when we're taking aim, the question is, what's the change you want to see? What's one thing you want to focus on in the next couple of weeks?
To reduce the amount of times my daughter just sort of screams in response to anything that you say or ask. That she doesn't
so you
like.
Want to help. So you want to help the daughter, your daughter, respond.
Respond calmly. Just politely, appropriately, without screaming or without making like really annoying screeching noises, like with anything that.
Okay.
She just automatically wants to say no.
So it's. Help her respond without screaming when she doesn't like what she hears.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's
perfect.
Specific.
And okay. That's great. That's very good. Anne, what about you?
Well, about 2 weeks ago, my son decided he wants to set his own practice schedule for his oboe.
Mm-hmm.
Part of a class grade. It's something that we've always scheduled into our week. But 2 weeks ago, he decided he doesn't want to schedule it anymore. He just wants to do it when he feels like it.
Okay.
And for 2 weeks, he hadn't practiced. So it's kind of
what's the change
that,
you
I'm
want to
trying
see?
To hand off to him because he's asked for it. But yet he's not getting the things done that, you know, are required for the class. So I'm trying to just be patient. I'm trying to, you know, this is really new for us because this is really the first time he's asked for something.
So what do you want? What do you want to see different? Is it about having a conversation with him about, you know, debriefing how it's going? Is it?
We've had the conversation. Well, you know, to me, it kind of fits in with the activating the brain. He has to want to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, so doesn't he?
So he's asked for, let me clarify what's happened. Okay. He asked for you to hand him the baton. And you said yes. Right? Is that fair?
Yes.
Was there any conversation about preparing him for how to hold it without dropping it? Because what you're saying to me is he's dropped the baton.
The conversation is that you have 120 minutes a week of practice you're supposed to have in each week. So it's the understanding that he knows what that expectation is.
Now I understand that. What I'm asking is,
kinda,
is I'm not clear what you want to do differently. Is it you want to say nothing? Is it you want to figure out how to have a constructive conversation with him? Is it you want to take it back? Like, what's the change you want?
I guess I don't know what to do. I really don't know what if I try to take that control back. I mean, I can talk to him, and if he doesn't feel like it, he's not going to do it.
Okay. So how to handle the – so you want to figure out how do I handle the fact, right, that he's not doing
right.
Oboe practicing. Okay.
Yes. But still – I'm just really So this is like that first handoff, and I guess I don't know how to do it.
Right. That's a great question. So the goal is to figure out what to do about the fact that he's not doing the oboe practice, and you sort of handed it to him, and he's not, and he didn't pick it up. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Okay, so let's shift into conversation for a little bit. I want to talk about activating the brain. You guys hopefully have all read the workbook, so I don't want to go through. There's a lot of content, obviously, in this week's topic, right? Activating the brain is one of the four cornerstones of the model. A ton of things come into activating the brain. The medication comes into this arena. And exercise and nutrition and sleep are all different ways that we activate the brain. What's really important here, and executive function comes into this, really, we'll talk about this more later, but understanding executive function and understanding how those different pieces come into play. What's really important here, I think, for the first conversation is not the details of executive function or all of these pieces, but to understand that for our kids, activating the brain is an essential component of management, right? It's not enough to just be positive. It's not enough to just give them a solution. It's not enough to just say, okay, you're going to do it. The way that their brains are wired, if the brain's not activated, it's not likely to get done. And our brains, their brains are sluggish, and they need help learning how to activate them, right? So really the big focus of today's conversation is not how to activate so much as understanding the role of activation, what's important about it, and what it takes. You know, and several of you have taken aim on things. It's about conversations around, whether it's for yourselves or for them, but conversations around what does it really mean to think about the process of engaging the brain in some way, right? What does it take to sort of grease the skids, to lubricate the brain, to get the synapses firing? And a lot of us sort of look at medication and say that's the only solution, and sometimes it can be an effective solution, and it's not the only one. Ton of research now on exercise in particular, meditation in particular, sleep. Those three areas in particular have a huge impact. But to make the distinction between what you're trying to do and recognizing what it takes to do it in the first place, which is, you know, how do we make the brain as engaged as possible? You know, engaging the brain is another way of putting it. So before we go into sort of solutions or problem solving or any coaching around it, I want to know what's coming up for people around this, the just sort of generic notion of what does it mean to activate the brain and how does that conversation happen in your home. So what's coming up for y'all?
So this is Sonal. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I didn't say, the exercise we do... a lot. She's on sports teams, there's practices, all of that. But still, like at the end of the day, her school day, and she's practiced and run around for a couple of hours, she's just fried. And so mm-hmm. trying to get her to, I know sleep is an important thing, and for her, she really needs sleep, so we really try, but it's just the regular routine and getting her to wind down enough is just a struggle. And meditation, we've tried a number of times. She won't take it. She's just like, oh, my God, that's boring. It's all too boring. Everything's too boring. Reading a book is too boring.
But so let me ask you a question. What does she know about activating the brain? What's her relationship with it? I hear the ways in which you're trying to do it for her or on her behalf. What's her understanding of it?
Well, she knows she likes, I mean, she knows exercise and getting out and being able to run around, she feels helps her.
Helps
so,
her what?
And she does, helps her sort of get her, as she used to say when she was little, her wiggles out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to get, give her some downtime is the way she likes it, especially after a day at school. Sometimes just get out and be with friends and all. But I, beyond that, I don't know that she knows more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how to get that across, I guess, either as well.
Okay. Cool. Who else? What else is coming up for you? So what I'm hearing you saying is that she recognizes the value of activating the brain, but she may not really understand what it's doing and why.
Yeah.
She may not be connecting what that's doing and what the value of it is. So she gets the value, but she doesn't really get the concept. Does that resonate?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah.
Cool.
That's closer to it.
Yeah. Who else? What else is coming up?
This is Kathy.
This is Anne.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh. Anne and then Kathy. Go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, my son's kind of the same in that I feel like all day at school, he just, his brain gets zapped. And when he gets home, he just almost wants to shut himself in his room for a couple of hours to listen to music, to just not interface with the world. And I respect mm-hmm. that. I don't have a problem with that. But activating it after a couple of hours of resting is just almost, is really difficult.
Okay, so that, so what's happening is he's not, he's disengaging, he's turning it off, which is reasonable, right? So there's a, there's something about helping him re-engage or reactivate. And again, it sounds similarly that that's something you're sort of trying to do for him. What's his awareness of it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll have to watch.
All right. That's. I love it when it happens this way, that there's a theme, right, that pops up that you were going to begin to hear from everybody more than likely in one way or another, which is we're thinking about this stuff, but how are they thinking about it, right? So
yeah.
Was that
– yeah.
And now I got switched. Was that was Anne, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure. So, Kathy, what about you? What's coming up for you?
Yeah. Our son had a trial of stimulant medication when he was only about 9, and it was not successful, and he felt very anxious and discontinued. But what sort of lingered as a 9-year-old was drugs are bad, they made me feel weird, and so we really backed away from medication for a few years, and he's been in different kind of executive functioning tutoring, I call it. You know, it's like a cognitive
yeah.
training programs and some different things we've tried, and also balancing that out with really strongly encouraging participation in sports because he tends to not be very active. And so anyway, we came back to it with a new pediatrician this year, and he's on a non-stimulant med. And so it is, he's now 13, and so his questions, he still has a lot of caution about the idea of being on medication, and we've talked it through about, you know, he has a voice in this, and he needs to talk to the doctor
right.
about it. But anyway, there was one comment, I don't know, about 3 weeks ago, he goes, am I a lab rat? You know, like this idea of what's the right level? We're not sure. Tell us more. You know, like he's like, who's in charge? Like, am I just being experimented on? And so anyway, it's led to deeper conversations around his understanding, his participation in it. And yes, in fact, every kid is a little different. And the doctors and your parents and your teachers are all going to be kind of looking for clues and looking for feedback about, is this actually helping you in your daily routines at school? And, you know, sort of, is it a benefit? So it's been really
so
interesting.
So can I just iterate? That's a great story, and I love the way that you're bringing him into the conversation and into ownership of it. The question that's jumping out at me is, does he know the purpose of the, like, what's he trying, what's the purpose of the med to achieve for him. Oftentimes we give kids meds and they don't know, we say, how's it working? And it's like, they don't know, is it supposed to make them calmer? Is it supposed to make them focus? Is it supposed, like, has anybody communicated with him what in what way it's supposed to be activating his brain? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, and there's probably more that could, but yes, he's fairly clear that school work is very difficult for him. Particularly, he's in a public school with, you know, close to 30 kids in a classroom. It's very hard for him to attend and be productive during the school day. And so our conversations have revolved around, I really want you to be able to feel effective and on track in the school day, so we're not having to do so much one-on-one, you know, catch-up work at home through tutoring, through whatever, you know, because it's kind of like going to school twice.
Yeah, well, it is a lot. So, and I realized I said it wrong earlier. In the last call, we talked about executive function, right? So what you're saying is an argument on several of you for helping them understand where the areas of executive function challenges are for them, so they could figure out how it would help them, how it would benefit them to activate, right? So he knows it's going to help him with school, but even more specifically, is it helping him focus? Is it helping him stay on task? Is it helping him, you know, manage his working memory? Like, what's the purpose? And the more specific you can get, the better he'll be able to not feel like a lab rat and be able to help and say, oh, this is helping or this isn't, and really be bought into that notion that I have to find a way to activate my brain to whatever. Right?
Yeah. And it's also, I feel like it's been my role to also be in conversations with the pediatrician about how he can, not to skip over these pieces, but that Patrick is at a point where he really needs to hear from me and the doctor who's prescribing.
Yeah.
What about this?
Well,
why do I think
and
this
you're, and remember, because you're here, you're unusual.
Right?
Most parents aren't having these conversations, and most parents aren't asking the doctors to involve the kids, a 13-year-old kid, in the conversation. And so the doctor, we have to train not just the teachers, but we have to train the doctors. We have to train the medical community as to what behavior management really looks like, because they really don't understand. They know we've got this problem, here's the medicine for it, but they don't really understand the nuances of executive function. Right? And so that's, we actually become the educators of the providers in a strange way. Who else? Anything else coming up around this issue of activating the brain?
This is
Shirey.
I guess that's
Brent. Oh, yes, go ahead.
Nope, this is Brent and then Shirey.
Okay.
I don't know why I identify myself. I'm the only guy on the call. with Addie, our youngest at 12, I'm what's jumping out at me is a number of things. She has some resentment to medication, and as you were just talking about helping her understand, she'll take it, but she says things like, I'm not special, I don't need this, I don't go to the slow class. This isn't really inappropriate things, but I think that the person that leaves here in the morning is not the same person that comes back in the afternoon. And I'm trying to wrap my head around, is that brain activation? Is that she's just grumpy in the morning? Is it a blood sugar issue? It's hard to get her to eat in the morning. I think it's a number of things that are hard to narrow down, but she leaves in the morning saying, I hate you, and she comes back, hey, Daddy. You know.
So you have now said several things on this call, Brent, that make it really clear. She's not up and functioning yet in the morning.
Right.
She is not... Her gears aren't yet turning, and she's being. And mornings are when we ask them to do all of this activation, right? You have to get up, brush your teeth, brush your hair, you know, all the stuff. When she's kind of a slug in the morning,
yeah,
and she's not activated before the beds are on board or whatever it is, right? So she gets to school, she gets to social interaction. That's probably engaging her, but until then, it's just a series of expectations that her brain is nowhere near ready for.
Right.
So what if you start with setting an expectation that, wow, it makes sense she's grumpy and a different kid in the morning and not ready to do all this stuff. How would she respond differently?
I don't even know how to make this. I think, yeah, she does. It's so bad, though, that if I walk in her bedroom in the morning and she's asleep, and we experimented with, well, let's nudge you and give a little more time to wake up rather than come in and say, okay, it's time to get up. But even when I go in for that initial what we call poking of the bear, I can walk in and in the stickiest, sweetest voice I can muster, gently, as soothingly as possible, Addie, it's time to wake up. Go away. Leave me alone. I mean, it's just, it's instant monster.
Right.
So it's hard to even communicate with her in the morning.
Yeah. Have you talked to her about it at a different time of day?
I have. And we've had a good
friend. Does she have some awareness of it?
She is aware of it.
Okay.
She's in a youth group at church that a good friend of ours leads, and our friend met with her and said, you know, why don't you try this in the morning and understand that they're not being mean to you. They're just trying to help you get away. And she said, oh, I know. I know they're not. And she's
okay.
perfectly aware of it.
I was going to say, that's going to solution, right? So what I want to encourage you to do is go to problem solving with her, right? Okay, so you started off saying that she's doing better, that you want to continue to minimize the meltdowns in the mornings, but she's actually doing better.
Right.
So what's different? Like, what is she doing differently? What are you doing differently?
Is she not doing anything differently? So.
But I don't, but what I'm asking you to do is to be in conversation with her, start with the celebration of it. You know, Addie, I just want to notice that I'm noticing that it's better. I mean, it's not perfect, and you're still a bear biting off my head in the morning, and yet it's better. So can we have a conversation about what's working and engage her in that so that you're focusing on a positive and something, a success she can build on?
You know, it's funny you say that because I'm just now remembering something she said this morning. I've been taking her to school this week instead of Holly. And she said this morning when we got to school, she said, I like it better when you take me to school because I get here a little bit earlier and I can do some things, you know, I can work on this.
I have to tell you the biggest shock of my life, we were doing this family meeting around mornings once, and the biggest shock of my life was when my kids decided they needed to wake up half an hour earlier. I would never have chosen that when I was their age. I thought they were crazy, and it made a big difference. They needed piddle time in the morning, you know. But you can't decide that for them. You need to help them figure that out, right? And that's where, you know, there's a great conversation about this notion of activating the brain. What does get your gears going? She may be a social kid, you know. So a lot of kids are motivated by getting to school early enough to see their friends, for an example. So, Shirey, what were you going to add?
I don't know that I really had a conversation about this with the kids. Sometimes you just go about your day and don't think about it. Because when they get home, the first thing they want to do is have a snack.
Yep.
And I'll ask, you know, how was your day? And I feel like doing that kind of helps if Chloe needs to unload or not.
Yep.
You know, because Xavier, he don't talk unless something crazy happens. But they eat, we talk, and then she does her homework. And I guess I hadn't really thought about that. I mean, now that I'm looking at it and thinking about it, you know, that's what obviously what activates her brain. She needs to get things out she's thinking about, and then they usually need to eat. And then she'll sit down, and she does pretty good doing her homework on her own.
Yep.
And
so there are two things. She needs to unload, and she needs a little food. She needs a little fuel.
Yeah. So I figured that out. But where I think that we – probably need to take aim with that with her is that parent-teacher conferences with her, you know, she's doing pretty good, but there was a lot of teachers that felt she had a hard time getting seated and getting her work going, and so she has two classes where she's turning in incomplete assignments because she's talking, she's walking around, and she's not just sitting down and getting it done. And so I might maybe need to have a conversation about what would help her to be able to get seated and get going, because she's obviously needing some sense,
needing some
somehow
debrief.
To motivate herself.
Yeah.
Or to shut down with the social stuff so that she can focus on the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
So, because the story I got from her is that the work was too difficult to complete, but then once we talked to the teacher, it was a different story, which I knew, you know, when she got
reviewed, I knew it was something
she was doing.
Well, but so here's the other thing is sometimes it's too difficult to start. So the notion of sitting down and getting started is kind of overwhelming. So it's kind of like that, I don't know if you've ever organized your desk so you can start on a project or put away your laundry so you can go do something else. Like, she may be sort of gearing herself up for the thought work because she knows it's going to be hard.
Right. And
so
it is a class that's not easy. I mean, I hate English too.
Yeah.
I always hated it. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
But.
Okay.
So
there is something about,
anyway,
in all of these conversations, what's coming up is raising their awareness, right, and enrolling them in the value to them. What's in it for them? Not for you, but for them to understand how the brain works and what it takes to activate their brain, right?
Right.
Because ultimately, we're trying to make, you know, transfer those batons so that it is their agenda. So when we go back, I was thinking about the oboe, right? Who was talking about the oboe? That was Ann, right? What's in it for him to do the oboe? What's the value to him? What's the benefit? He's not bought in, and he just wanted, you know, he wanted out of the structure of it. But then maybe there's a conversation about, well, what was the structure doing to help before, and what else could he do if he doesn't want that structure, you know? If he wants to get it done, and if he doesn't, what's the cost of that? But to be in that problem-solving conversation instead of it's either black or white, it's this or that, right? An activating the brain is a great conversation to have because they can see it. When I do this, then that happens. When I eat food, then I can concentrate and do my homework. When I eat food, I can stop the meltdown. You know, in my house, it was broccoli ice cream. The sort of if-then connection, because activating the brain isn't just about getting the stuff done. Sometimes it's about emotional management, mood regulation, right?
Sure.
So there's this theme that's coming for all of you in different ways about raising their awareness to what's happening for them so that they can move forward with making it more their agenda. So as I say that, sort of what's becoming clear to you on the topics, let's go back to the topic where you took aim, right? We had a whole range of topics from, you know, bickering in the car on a trip to not screaming in the mornings or not screaming when she doesn't like what she hears. Right. So how does activating the brain apply to the topic you brought to the call today?
Maybe we'll just start checking out early
and say, you know, what are you becoming aware of? What's clear for you now? Go ahead. Who was that?
That was Shirey. I was just going to say with the bickering in the car, you know, I do see how if maybe some of their needs are taken care of, that they won't need because it's almost like sometimes they're needing some, I don't want to say attention, but more like activation, like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. I would call it
maybe
stimulation.
Stimulation. There you go.
Yep.
They're needing stimulation.
Kids bicker because they're bored.
Yes.
Kids bicker because they're bored more than anything. Yeah.
So maybe I could have a conversation about, you know, what are you going to do to keep busy in the car so that way we can have, you know, a pleasant ride. And maybe we could have that conversation, and then I might have to have a conversation of each of them about expectations, and then maybe that will help with.
The other thing I would offer is before you get to the solution, because that's a solution,
mm-hmm.
it's a good one, is to ask, what do you want the car ride to be like? You know, sometimes when we go short places, we have a good time together, and sometimes there's a lot of bickering. What do you want this trip to be like? And help them see what's in it for them to do something different.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
Because right now it's still your agenda that they're not bickering.
Right. That's true. I need buy-in.
Right. So, let's figure out what's their agenda before you jump to why don't you bring something with you to do, or you know. I mean, and it may be that there's some car game or something that they've both been wanting to do, or maybe they want to do Pokemon in the car, or, you know.
Sure.
Whatever it is, but before you come to the solution, if you can get them invested in the goal.
Right. Yep.
You got to know what your goal is and then start working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who else? What else? What's becoming clear
Elaine,
for
this
you?
Is Anne.
Mm-hmm.
So what's coming up for me is that I feel what activates my son's brain is an interest in something. If he's interested, boom, you know, it's not a problem. He loves playing the oboe. He has never had a problem practicing before. He's very gifted in music, but he's starting to lose the interest in it, losing the novelty of it. It's becoming hard. So
yeah, that's when I quit violin, when I had to start practicing.
So, yeah, so, you know, that whole baton handoff when the interest is going away versus we're committed to this and we're going to see it through.
And
you want to quit at the end of the year, you can quit.
Well, does he need to stay through the entire year?
No. I'm just saying that is, you know, that's kind of my parent style. If we're going to do this, we're going to commit for whatever that term is, and we're going to do our best.
Right. All right.
And then you
get fair
expectation.
Right. So, but to recognize maybe the interest is waning and help him recognize that maybe the interest is waning. Right.
Right.
And
okay.
That he requires interest. Teach him pinch. Right. Help him see what is it that engages him. So
okay.
he may figure out that he's also engaged by competition and he could do something fun with a friend to get himself to practice. Or, he could,
right.
you know, I don't
right.
know. I'm making it up.
Okay, this is the second time you've mentioned that. So I need to go back and really think about that.
Yeah. We want to help them learn to manage themselves. We do not want to become the experts on our kids. We want to help them become the experts on themselves.
Okay, right.
Right?
Right.
Cool. Who else? What are you taking away from this?
This is Julie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking away, we've started a little bit of a new schedule recently, so kind of trying, we've been doing a lot of talking about what works and what doesn't, and how to get her, help her to move from watching TV when she gets home to actually doing her work and stuff. So just reinforcing, continuing the conversation. And, you know, I love this idea of helping them to get to know themselves better. Yeah, I've been trying to introduce, you know, like, it seems like it's hard when this happens, like kind of saying what I noticed, because when I ask her about it, she isn't really identify it herself. It's hard for her to be self-aware around this at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I keep trying to like point it out and give her choices around what's next. I'm trying that. It's not always so graceful. But it's, you know, it seems to be working. But it's the conversation. So the idea of continuing the conversation, helping her to get to know what she needs and to know herself and be able to articulate it and become aware of it is the goal. So those kind of open-ended questions, to keep having them. and the conversation.
Yeah, that self-awareness. Like, you can't bang it over their head. You just got to patiently keep inviting them to the dance.
Right, and then for me, because I'm looking forward to this weekend, my goal, like, for me not to get mad when it's hard for her to activate or to switch and, to, you know, to remember, like, she's working on this, we're working on this. And,
yeah.
And to just be more patient and loving about it. And,
well, and
the
other thing I would offer you is to remember to activate your brain before you're, like, do something like you're doing for yourself now, taking a walk, before the kids come home from school, do something to get your juices flowing and get your brain as maximized as possible, right?
Yeah, I like that, too. That's good.
Yeah, cool.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Who else? What else is coming up?
So this is Sonal. So I guess trying, you know, I've tried, we try on and off in terms of when we ask her to do something. Some things are about being part of the family, and so you have these chores or you have these things that you need to do, and it's just almost always a no, a scream, a no, and trying to give her maybe more options or a little bit more flexibility, or I don't know if it's more asking her what is it that she doesn't like about the request. And
so what you're saying, though, what I'm hearing is that you're going to her with an answer. And what I want to invite you to in the process, and this will start making more sense over time, right, is to start stepping out of the solution and into the problem-solving process with her so that you're starting to get her buy-in differently and you're getting her engagement differently. Does that make sense? Because right now she's reacting to your plan because she doesn't feel like she's got a role in it.
Or she doesn't have a say in whether it happens now or later.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. So, and that's huge, just to win. She's seeking control. And it's not an unreasonable thing for her to seek. We actually want her to learn control, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. So begin to look for ways to give it to her, so that she can begin to feel empowered. And then you can begin to have conversations about problem solving and how do you do this and that. And that's all about shifting from a focus to here's the answer to, well, let's talk about this issue. We'd like to see it addressed. Are you willing to talk about how we might improve this? What were you going
to
say?
So in terms of, well, I guess trying to sort of figure out next steps for myself would be, to ask her or to have the conversation. I understand you don't want to do these things.
So I would choose one.
Ask.
Yeah. I would choose one. Not a whole bunch of them. Choose one. One area of focus. What's one task that you'd like her buy-in to begin to do more willingly?
Okay.
And just say, you know, this is one area I'd really, you know, this is, whenever we talk about it, we butt heads, we have a problem, it's not fun for me. Is it fun for you? Is this how you want it to be? Are you willing to have a conversation about this? Right? Keep asking permission to be in conversation with her about problem solving. So it's like what I like to call invite her to the dance again and again.
Mm-hmm.
That's a way of giving her a sense of control. Okay?
Okay.
So choose
mm-hmm.
one thing. Start small. Start with something she might have some benefit to doing. Like there might be some reason there's something in it for her. You know?
Yeah.
I'm just making it up, but when you're the one that feeds the dogs love you more than anyone else in the house. you know.
Yep.
And that could be a motivator for a kid.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. Who else? What are your ahas and any other and or any commitments?
With Addie, friends? I think we're on a good path this week. It's just staying consistent with it. You know, this new strategy seems to be working for now, and I will talk to her more and revisit the conversation I had with her this morning and get more of her input and let her take that ownership and see the win for her in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, she's got some wins. You want to play on them, build on the strengths, right?
Right.
Great. Anybody else? I kind of lost touch with who's checking out, so. Okay. All right. I just want to acknowledge everybody. Thanks for being here, for being in the conversation. And I just really want to encourage you all to bring this conversation back to your families. Really think in terms of not just how do you activate their brain, but how do you help them understand the value and role of activating the brain. Okay? And have a great couple of weeks. We will not be having a call. We will have a call next week, and then we won't have a call that first week of November, I think, because Diane and I are both going to be at the CHAG conference. If anybody's in the Philadelphia area, strongly encourage you to check out the International